BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, it was 4 years ago tomorrow that the U.S. Supreme Court rendered their decision in which they waved their magic wand and created a constitutional right for so-called same-sex marriage. This has caused an explosion of LGBTQ plus expansionism all across the nation. It's in our schools. It's on children's television. It's prevalent in Hollywood. It's invaded our libraries, bookstores, our swimming pools, locker rooms, and restrooms. Today you're going to find out even our fire departments. It has muscled corporations to bow to them and cause politicians to advance their cause. Well, our guest today is in Washington, D.C. He's there for the purpose, along with others, saying that the Obergefell decision from 4 years ago is based on a false science and based on premises that contradict the facts. Joining us today, we welcome Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. They are a nonpartisan educational group dedicated to exposing the homosexual, bisexual, transgender activist agendas. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Jim, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Peter, we've got a whole lot on our plate today, but let's start with the infamous Supreme Court decision that was released June 26, 2015, Obergefell versus Hodges. Peter, you're in D.C. right now to mark this event outside the U.S. Supreme Court, indicating this decision is based on false science, built on a lie. Share with us what's going on, what's taking place there.
Yeah, Jim, as you know, because you've interviewed them, it is a lie. It is a homosexual activist myth that homosexuality is unchangeable. And yet that was part of the Obergefell v. Hodges decision. Remember, Obergefell v. Hodges is the decision in 2015, 4 years ago tomorrow, when homosexual so-called marriage, of course it's not real marriage, especially before God, but this was imposed on the nation by the arrogance of the Supreme Court, even though the same Supreme Court, Jim, I believe it was in the 70s, wasn't it, when the same Supreme Court rejected an attempt to legalize so-called gay marriage. Many people don't know that the court reversed itself in this decision, but part of this decision, the Obergefell case, was in the decision written by Justice Anthony Kennedy, who basically became a pro-homosexual activist on the court. It said that sexual orientation is, quote, immutable. In other words, you can't change homosexuality, therefore it's more like race, and therefore it's more like a civil right. Well, the problem with that, Jim, as you know, is that of course you can leave homosexuality behind. Many people have changed their homosexual identity, their behavior. They've left that lifestyle, and they've gone on to live lives in line with their actual bodies and honoring to God, as opposed to in rebellion against God's created order.
So, Peter, what do you have planned for tomorrow?
Well, we have at 10:30 in the morning, we have a rally directly in front of the sidewalk in front of the Supreme Court on the fourth year anniversary of Obergefell, in which we're bringing out, number one, Jim, five people, men and women, who've left homosexual and transgender lifestyles, who give the lie to this notion of immutability, that homosexuality is unchangeable. And they are speaking, they will give their testimonies. These are some amazing people. You've already interviewed one, David Arthur, who came out of actually homosexual prostitution, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Another is Laura Perry, who came out of transgenderism. She was, as a young woman, she wanted to be a man. She got saved. She got the Lord saved her, and she is now testifying to the truth of her real identity as a woman, as a beautiful woman made by God. We have Greg Quinlan, who came out of homosexual activism. We have I'm forgetting all the names. This is amazing, Jim. We have just one event here, and we've got five people who've come out of homosexuality, and yet our Supreme Court, the supposed law of the land commanding moral authority to the nation, said that this issue is unchangeable. So So I don't understand that. That was fallacious.
So, Peter, what does the LGBT movement do with those who were, such were some of you, those who are ex-gays? The movement says you're born that way. Justice Kennedy, as you said, saying sexual orientation is immutable. How do they handle this? These are people who are former homosexuals, and they know it's not true.
Yeah, Jim, you know how they handle it? They bully them, they demonize them, they ostracize them. They do the very thing that's the opposite of what they called when they were a younger movement. The battle cry of the homosexual movement back, you know, this is 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago was visibility. We have to be visible. We're out. We're proud. We're gay. Now, when you have ex-gays trying to gain visibility, telling people, we're here, you know, we've come out of this lifestyle, we need to, our new identities need to be respected. The homosexual movement is trying to, they're trying to ban so-called reparative therapy, which is a therapy approach of trying to help people to overcome homosexual, bisexual, transgender identities. They are trying to demonize them. It's shocking, Jim, but the way they treat ex-gays is precisely what they fought against being treated themselves for years.
Peter, I see, too, you're going to have representatives from Liberty Council there, the American Family Association, from other ministries across this nation as well. And I understand you're actually calling for a repeal of the Obergefell decision.
Yes, we have to hold up Obergefell. Every Christian who is consistent and faithful to the Word of God and to our calling to testify to truth must call for Obergefell to be overturned, just like we hope and work and pray for Roe v. Wade to be overturned, the decision legislating forcing abortion on demand on the nation. The parallels are striking, Jim. Roe v. Wade was a decision that forced abortion, and a related decision, Doe v. Bolton. Between the two of them, they forced abortion on demand onto the nation. Obergefell forced gay marriage, so-called, on the nation. Jim, there were more than 30 states that had taken specific action, either through laws or amendments, to protect marriage in their definitions, in their constitutions as states. They tried to preserve marriage as between one man and one woman. Those states were basically bullied by the Supreme Court, their autonomy overridden, and their voters were disenfranchised because in many of those states, Jim, as you know, I believe Wisconsin was one of them, wasn't it?
Yes.
Where the people voted to protect marriage as one man, one woman.
Right.
Those voters were disenfranchised by the Supreme Court, which forced the imposition of gay marriage on the state.
Yeah, I mean, what a shining example of judicial activism that we saw take place with that decision in Obergefell. Now we're 4 years later. We're talking today with Peter LaBarber. He is in Washington, D.C. He's with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. He and other pro-family leaders are in Washington for this event, as are a number of former homosexuals or transgenders who are there to share their testimony that they were once part of that but are no longer. Peter, something had to had to change in their lives. I mean, they couldn't change their DNA. They couldn't change the chromosomes. They couldn't change that so-called gay gene. Something else happened.
Yeah, Jim, and I remember the other two names, too, by the way. You're absolutely right, Jim. I don't know about you, Jim, but I've never met an ex-black, and I've never met an ex-Latino. But I have had the privilege of getting to know dozens and dozens of former homosexuals, former transgenders. The other two ex-gays and ex-transgender we have are Grace Harley, who came out of transgenderism, a wonderful story, the Lord saved her, and Stephen Black, who's a good friend of mine, who was molested, who came out of a gay lifestyle, a promiscuous gay lifestyle. He is now leading a ministry called First Stone Ministry, based in Oklahoma City, where he now helps men and women come out of homosexuality.
Peter, some are listening right now who are within driving distance of D.C., where the rally is taking place, just outside the Supreme Court. Is it too late for folks to decide to join you there?
No, this is a very exciting event, Jim. It starts at 10:30 in the morning tomorrow. That's Wednesday, June 26th. Right in front of the Supreme Court, we've got big speakers. We cannot be drowned out by the left. We have a constitutional right as Americans, a First Amendment right, to be there and to make our voice heard. And, Jim, last year we did this, and at one point a homosexual activist started yelling out, "Get off our land," as if the Supreme Court is now the property of the left.
Wow.
And I responded, "It's our land, too. We are citizens of America. We have a right to be here."
So where can our listeners get more information about the rally?
Just go to my website, Americans for Truth, Americans for Truth. That's written out, F-O-R, Truth. And by the way, Jim, we're hoping that it also will be live streamed. So check it, Americans for Truth. If you can't make the rally, you can watch it live, hopefully, on live stream at the Americans for Truth website.
Okay, AmericansForTruth.org, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Or .com, I think either will get you there.
Either works, yep.
AmericansForTruth.org. And learn more about this rally outside the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow morning, the fourth anniversary of the release of the Obergefell versus Hodges decision. Peter, this whole LGBT thing is so predominant, and we're just, it's really predominant among those seeking the Democratic nomination now to run against President Trump. Last Thursday, Senator Elizabeth Warren came out in favor of legislation that's been equated to gay reparations. The Daily Wire puts it this way: under the Refund Equality Act, same-sex couples would be able to amend their past taxes, readjusting with joint filed tax returns and accepting refunds from the IRS. She said, we must right these wrongs. What do you think about this, which is being called gay reparations?
I think this is just unbelievable. The Democrats are pandering to the homosexual lobby like never before. And I think they're trying to see, they see that the Republicans aren't putting up much of a resistance, and so they're just going hog wild. I mean, why should Americans be for, first of all, this decision is 4 years old. It is not a constitutional decision. This, as I said, the Supreme Court had already rejected an attempt to legalize homosexual marriage. This was a highly political decision. Obama paved the way, President Obama, by basically, he lied to the American people about marriage. Remember, he said it was a religious thing. It was important to him to preserve marriage between a man and a woman. He said it was religious to him, Jim. But then suddenly, when he ran for president again, I believe that was, what, 1990s? When was that, Jim? 2012, for his reelection,
yes.
Obama, he flipped on gay marriage. And then he became one of the biggest pro-gay marriage activists in the nation. And he even had the White House shining. They shone rainbow flag colors after the Obergefell decision, one of the most disgraceful episodes in our nation's capital. He turned the White House rainbow flag colors to celebrate homosexuality and so-called gay marriage, that was a terrible thing, and he paved the way. This is not something that is part of our nation's heritage. Americans should not be forced to subsidize these immoral so-called marriages.
But if Elizabeth Warren has her way, I mean, all of America will be paying.
Absolutely, and she's trying to seize the moral high ground when this is actually an immoral, unconstitutional, very destructive decision, which, by the way, Jim, is having the effect of further indoctrinating our children, because now that gay marriage, so-called, has been legalized, leftists in the educational and entertainment realm are using it to teach children on mm-hmm. programs like the cartoon Arthur. They're, mm-hmm. they're using gay marriage to indoctrinate children.
Yes, and then, of course, we're seeing My Little Pony introducing a lesbian couple there as well. And on it goes, the indoctrination taking place. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back to speak further about this. Peter LaBarbera is with us today. He is live in Washington, D.C. He is there for the purpose of a rally taking place tomorrow outside the U.S. Supreme Court as it relates to their voicing opposition to the Obergefell versus Hodges decision, in which they're calling for a repeal of this decision. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we're looking at the evolutionary scale, what animals would be considered primitive?
Chris, mammals are thought to be more advanced on the evolutionary scale, although all animals are amazingly well designed. Insects are thought to be rather primitive, but research has shown that even butterflies, as they migrate across the ocean, have some sort of built-in magnetic sense which keeps them on course. They can correct their course even if blown off course by wind. Chris, even insects were created by an amazingly intelligent creator. There's nothing primitive about any form of life. Even single-cell life is complex. If it's living, it's complex. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarbera is with us here today, and he is outside, outside the Supreme Court area. He is in D.C. Tomorrow will be at the court, along with many others coming from a pro-family, pro-biblical perspective as it relates to what marriage is, what it relates to the fact that God has created male and female. And Peter, by bringing these people tomorrow who are former homosexuals, former transgenders, this is not an act of hate. This is an act of love whereby you're showing that indeed people can come out of this lifestyle that has ensnared them.
Absolutely, Jim. If you love somebody, you tell them the whole truth, which is nobody has to be, quote, gay. It's a changeable lifestyle, often rooted in tragic circumstances, Jim. We must have godly sorrow for the people who've chosen this as an identity. But the great reality is that Jesus is pulling people out of homosexuality. God, in his great mercy, is still to this day, even though gay power, activist power, is greater than it's ever been, as we're always talking about, Jim, it's become this zeitgeist, this new sort of pagan religion in the West, and especially in America. Despite all that, God is still rescuing men and women out of this lifestyle.
Peter, and by the way, folks, you can get more information on the rally at AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org. Peter, a recent Gallup survey came out in which they claim 71% of American adults favor permitting openly transgender individuals to serve in the military, 26% opposed, small percentage had no opinion. They said 88% of Democrats, 78% of independents, 43% of Republicans favor allowing open home transgenders to serve in the military.
Can I say something on that, Jim?
Yeah, I
haven't seen it, but I bet you they did not ask a question. Do you, as American taxpayer, want to pay for these these disfiguring transgender so-called surgeries, these awful surgeries, which are almost too disgusting to describe? I'm sure that question was not asked, and I'm sure that question would get a wholly different result.
So, and also, a 2019 Rasmussen report survey showed 43% of voters allowing transgenders to openly serve in the military, 44% oppose. This is really quite a discrepancy between those two polls. I think there's a little twisting of questions going on, and I think you were kind of alluding to that just a bit ago.
Yeah, Jim, we know how the game is played. We've been around this a long time, both of us. You ask the questions, which are going to elicit the response. Now, this is Gallup, which is ostensibly one of the more reputable polling companies. However, the key question, and one of the things Trump even referred to, was the extra burdens to the taxpayer. You know, the military doesn't even, if you have glasses, you can't fly jets. The military doesn't allow super overweight people or people with other issues into the military. So you're talking about transgender people some of whom want the military to pay for their surgeries. Now, everybody who's transgender doesn't get those surgeries, but I mean, there's many complicated issues here, and I'm sure that the poll asked a very simplified question.
Peter, I'd like to move on to the libraries as well, because it seems hardly a day passes when we don't hear of yet another library grooming kids that's not my word, grooming kids. That was a drag queen who used that term in a public hearing. We're grooming the next generation. But Peter, we hear this grooming of kids by these drag queen story hours. Some libraries are even taking this further. I saw one such event in Renton, Washington. The library held a teen pride Pride celebration. It is so graphic that we cannot even go into describe what transpired here. But some adults wanted to know what was going on, but the library made an announcement at 5 p.m. this building is closed for all adults, and they would need to leave the building unless their children wanted them to stay. And Peter, we found that the library actually called police to have adults removed.
Yeah, because like the schools, like the public schools, Jim, the elites, the leftists running these libraries, and they're social leftists, many of them, completely pro-LGBTQ, they view the children as sort of their children, in the sense that they don't want the parents there. They want to be able to indoctrinate the children themselves. And it's shocking that that they've gone to this level of actually sticking the police on the parents instead of, and so the left is willingly now putting these children in harm's way. They're not telling them the health risks, the immense health risks of homosexual behaviors. So many issues on just health alone, not to mention morality and where the souls of these children are headed if they're promoted into the sinful lifestyle. They're not interested in any of that. They just want to indoctrinate them into the LGBTQ lifestyle.
And Peter, it's not only libraries, but I was shocked. I didn't know this was going on. We had a caller from a listener in Washington yesterday that in Washington State, it's Barnes & Noble getting involved. And I saw it on the yaktrinews.com. It's out of Washington State. And we're talking about Kennewick, Washington at the Barnes & Noble in Kennewick holding a drag queen story hour coming up on Saturday, July 6th at their Columbia Center Mall location. They said that they're going to have to bring in extra security for the event. And in researching this, I also found that the Omaha, Nebraska Barnes & Noble holding a drag queen story hour this coming Saturday, 11 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble store in Omaha.
Yeah, because this has become the latest cause of the left. Every time they win, then they go on to something even more radical. And, you know, it was on your show, Jim, when we did one of our interviews a few months ago, I think, when a caller called in, a woman who said, I don't understand. If blackface is wrong, in other words, the old thing where men and would dress and put black, imitating a black American, if that's wrong, then why is it okay? Why is drag okay? In other words, you're teaching these young children, you have these gaudy men who are in this, you know, this caricature, this stereotypical, ugly caricature, mocking women, and you're teaching that to children. Plus, the whole thing is so perverse, and yet they think this is appropriate to teach to very young children, to imprint in their young minds. This is like mental rape, Jim. This is awful that this is the latest cause of the left in this country.
Well, folks, I know there are a number of you listening in Kennewick, Washington. If you'd like to contact your Barnes & Noble regarding their Drag Queen Story Hour coming up, you can do so by calling them at 509-736-3116. 509-736-3116. Also know we have many Nebraskans who listen, and the Barnes & Noble Crossroads Mall location holding the Drag Queen Story Hour, 402-393-6223. That's 402-393-6223. Now, Peter, it's not only the libraries. Now we're seeing Barnes & Noble get involved in this. And I shouldn't be shocked, but I am. I'm constantly shocked, Peter. Now we have fire departments that are raising funds using drag queen bingo. This is just south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Sparkling Queens of Drag. They are said, according to the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, to bring in between $5,000 and $30,000 by playing this drag queen bingo fundraisers for fire departments and for nonprofit organizations.
Yep, and here we go. But now this is a little different because fire departments have a public connection as opposed to Barnes & Noble, which is a private pandering corporation, of which there are now thousands of corporations pandering to this agenda. But Jim, I think what I find most troubling is this is where liberalism is now, that they can use these misogynistic homosexuals, for the most part, dressing as ugly caricatures that mock women, and they want to celebrate this in the name of tolerance and love, when actually this is a very hateful thing and it's very perverse. And this is where liberalism is. So if you are an American and you want to stand for what's right, I think you need to look and say, this is where this agenda is headed. Jim, we're in the 50th year since the post-Stonewall, which we had in our last show, talked about the pro-homosexual riots against the cops. In this 50 years, it has evolved from being when two men could not hold hands in public to now promoting these ugly caricatures against women to very young children. It's shocking to see where this is all headed.
Well, indeed, Peter. Also, we're seeing corporate America being impacted, and IllinoisFamily.org, they just wrote a piece June 14th that Macy's, once a symbol of, you know, wholesome American fun with its Thanksgiving parades, now holding this full calendar of pride and joy events during this month, including a drag queen story hour held just last Saturday in New York City. But Macy's stores in Boston and Los Angeles, Houston, San Francisco, Columbus, Ohio, other locations are engaged in events. They're even reporting, Peter, in New York City, at their location there, they had a ribbon cutting ceremony for a new pride shop within the department store. We know Target is offering a clothing line and accessories for adults and children to celebrate the gay lifestyle. And Target, according to American Family Association, donating some $100,000 to the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network. I mean, we could go for hours as to what corporate America is doing on this issue as well.
Yeah, and Jim, it's become the religion of the left. It's abortion and homosexuality from a social perspective. And I would say liberal immigration have become issues of the left. And now is the time for Christians to say, will I stand with man or will I stand with God? And I think each of us can ask the question, how can we stand for truth against this juggernaut, which is corrupting children, corrupting public discourse? Now they're at war against God, and they're trying to penetrate Christianity and make Christianity pro-perversion. And we as Christians have to say, what are we going to do, God? How can I stand against this juggernaut in the United States?
Peter, again, a shocking story that came out today. Regarding, this is from Pix 11 out of New York, and the headline, Tinder shows its pride with the 30-foot rainbow slide in the Flatiron District. This is out of the Manhattan area. The popular dating app Tinder has installed a rainbow slide in Manhattan to celebrate Pride Week. It's called the Pride Slide. Pride goers can ride down this 30-foot slide meant to represent the what they say are the 30 U.S. states that still do not protect the LGBTQ community from discrimination. But people go down this slide, and when they do so, evidently they have emails that will go out to the legislators from these states to support the Equality Act and raising money for the Human Rights Campaign. And
can I say something to that, Jim?
Go ahead.
First of all, the slide is a great metaphor for the America sliding into moral depravity. But this, look at the language they choose. The 30 states where they don't protect people from discrimination, where there's the strongest gay rights laws, there's been direct discrimination against Christians. People like Baronella Stutzman. And Mr. Phillips, the baker, that's discrimination. They directly discriminate against people of faith in the name of gay tolerance. So this language that they choose, the narrative is, oh, they're protecting people. Their people aren't protected from discrimination. But where we see homosexual, bisexual, transgender laws the strongest, that's where you see this evil discrimination against people of faith who merely do not want to, for example, in the case of Baronella Stutzman, do not want to participate in a homosexual so-called wedding. That they can't do that. Their conscience will not allow them to do that as faithful believers in Jesus Christ. And yet they are the ones being punished through the laws, through this pro-LGBT legislation and these and city councils. So that's where discrimination is a farce. It's where gay laws are the strongest, pro-homosexual laws, is where discrimination against Christians is the strongest.
Peter LaBarbera talking to us from Washington, D.C., where he is there to mark tomorrow's fourth anniversary of the Obergefell's decision. Today we're looking at Obergefell's impact, and you can certainly see, even from this last story, the downward slide that we are on morally here across this nation. By the way, you can get more info at the rally at AmericansForTruth.org. They're assembling tomorrow at 10:30 outside the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in just a minute.
It is hard to believe that our society has changed so much that sharing the love of Christ might be characterized as hate. Yet the greatest need of mankind is to come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. To many, witnessing can be daunting, discouraging, and difficult in many ways, and as a result, many shy away from sharing this good news. In the book, By Which We Are Saved, authors Preston and Kelly Condra provide helpful information on sharing the gospel with confidence. It's a complete handbook for witnessing, equipping the Christian with not only the gospel message, but how to handle objections with concise responses. You will learn how you can incorporate evangelism more fully in your daily life. By Which We Are Saved is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more. To obtain your copy, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
We're looking at the Obergefell impact 4 years later. Peter LaBarber is with us. He's in D.C. right now. Their event starting at 10:30 tomorrow morning. And so those of you within driving distance, you want to get there early in order to be there right at the start of their 10:30 rally, in which they have a number of speakers, including several individuals who have come out of the homosexual lifestyle. There are former homosexuals, just like Scripture said, such were some of you. And certainly that rally going taking place tomorrow, and calling for a repeal of the Obergefell decision, which was handed down 4 years ago by the United States Supreme Court. As I said in the outset, they waved their magic wand and all of a sudden created this constitutional right for so-called same-sex marriage. Peter, just a couple more issues before we open our phone lines. I did hear from a Kansan yesterday and have before me from WIBW out of Topeka, Kansas, that the Kansas Department of Health and Environment will now let Kansans change the sex designation on their birth certificate. This was announced in a statement by Governor Laura Kelly, who has been an advocate for pro-LGBT matters since she became governor, saying it was time for Kansas to move past its outdated and discriminatory anti-transgender policy.
Yeah, it's amazing, even in a place like Kansas, that this is happening. It's so sad, Jim, to see the Democratic Party sold out to this wicked agenda. And it is. I mean, you can't change history. You can't change the sex, your sex. And so to go back and change the license plate like that, I mean, not the license plate, I mean your birth certificate, is actually very shocking that they're allowing that, because it's like the Soviets, Jim. It's like going back and erasing somebody from history. Now we're going back and you're saying it's anti-science, it's anti-nature. It's, you can't change. You can say that you're a woman if you're a man, but you will always be a man.
Peter, just one other matter here, as this is impacting the religious community. I'm not saying Christian, but religious, because we know what Scripture says about this lifestyle. It is an abomination to God. That's according to the Scripture. But from ChristianNews.net, Peter, we have a story here about the Presbyterian Church USA, in which a church caretaker dressed in drag and reads a story on Harvey Milk and the rainbow flag during a service. This was a sort of their own drag queen story hour. It was last Sunday. The building caretaker dressed in drag read to the congregation a story about homosexual politician Harvey Milk and the creation of the rainbow flag. And then one other story here of Presbyterian Church USA. This time we go to Virginia, ordaining the first clergy candidate who identifies as gender non-binary on Saturday, reports the Christian Post. The PCUSA Presbytery of the James will ordain Jess Cook, who now identifies as a non-binary individual, at a ceremony scheduled to take place June 29th at the Ginter Park Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, Jim, I wanted to say something too. Remember, we have to remind people, Harvey Milk, now books, you know, children's books about Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, as an adult man, we talked about this before in our last interview, in a man in his 30s, in a sexual, quote, relationship with a 16 or 17-year-old boy, which would make him, I think, a statutory rapist in the state of New York where that occurred. Now this man is being elevated to a civil rights hero and being taught to children. He was a fanatical activist who compared Christians to Hitler and tried to seduce sailors. He was a vicious left-wing activist and a nasty, promiscuous man, and he's being elevated to hero status and being taught to children.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Folks, what do you have to say on these issues? Your thoughts here on the Obergefell decision 4 years later, and certainly we see the tsunami that is hitting this nation on the whole matter of LGBTQ plus, and depending upon what group it's they're adding the letters I and A and sometimes 2S for Two Spirit and on the list goes. That issue is very prevalent here. Our number 800-733-9829. Peter, we even have coming out here from the Milwaukee Biz Journal, the business journal, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender individuals working in the healthcare industry can now receive a scholarship from Herzing University Brookfield that will pay for half of the tuition of the university, up to $15,000. It's called the Pride in Healthcare Scholarship, partnership with the Wisconsin LGBT Chamber of Commerce. We don't have time to get into these, but Bermuda is going to be holding its first Pride March this summer on August 31st. And a story that came out from pinknews.com out of the UK indicating that an Israeli media company has announced it is launching its first ever live TV channel aimed exclusively at LGBT plus audiences, launching Out TV, the first LGBT TV channel for Pride.
Yeah, it's very sad coming from Israel, where the source of our Old Testament morality, very sad. And on that health matter, Jim, of course, it's extremely hypocritical because there are extreme health risks. In fact, for example, syphilis is making a comeback due to the promiscuity and in a large part promiscuity of homosexual men and the practices they engage in. Syphilis is making a comeback. If you look at just Google CDC and syphilis, Centers for Disease Control, you'll see that syphilis is a high percentage of the cases are, quote, men who have sex with men, and yet we're promoting this behavior in the name of pride, this unhealthy behavior.
And folks, some places are painting crosswalks with the rainbow colors, and here's even a story that came out of the BBC about in Edinburgh, Scotland area, where they are changing traffic signals. A series of green traffic signals along the Pride route in Edinburgh have been replaced with a range of diversity symbols instead. Where's this going next, folks? Let's go to Miami, Florida. We have Courtney calling in. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints, and God bless your speaker today. And I just want to make this clear. I ask God to show me what to say and what not to say. All I want to do is lift up the name of Jesus. You people taking your sons and daughters to a slide, a so-called gay slide, pride slide, are sliding right into hell yourselves, and you're going to see your children there if you don't get out of it. That's just a warning from God. I mean, Jesus came to save anybody and everybody. And this is what got Satan cast out of hell, out of heaven? Pride. And how is that flag named Pride, the gay pride flag? What's gay about living an immoral and filthy life? God will save you, you homosexuals. And I'm going to say it like the Lord said, you sodomites, God will save you. You just got to turn to the Lord. And I ask you people, pray for them that God opens their eyes, that he will come and save whom he will. God bless you all and have a wonderful day. And I only thing we have to be joyous in is in the Lord. God bless you now.
Okay, thank you, Courtney. Peter, intense desire for people to come out of the lifestyle and turn to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, and people are coming out and they're leaving, and that's one of the greatest things that's happening in this whole debate, is that people are leaving the lifestyle, and that's something that the LGBTQ movement will not admit, will not accept. And in fact, they're trying to persecute ex-gays. People have come out, and it shows you who the real discriminators are. They talk about non-discrimination, but they're completely willing to discriminate against people who come out of homosexuality. And it's shocking, but it's the wave of the movement, and we have to stand for truth.
Let's go to Caleb calling from East Bend, North Carolina. Caleb, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for your work, and both of you. And thank you for what you're bringing out and showing. I was bringing to your attention, if neither one of you knew it, I actually did call Brandon House and let him know, but in our military, they're pushing money to, say, like, two guys living in a dorm together, even if they're not homosexual, they are pushing money to them to go ahead and get a marriage certificate, so that they'll get paid more a month.
Who is pushing it?
Even though they're not homosexual.
Who is pushing it, Caleb?
Whoever's in the military over that. That I guess the Army is the one that I've heard about.
Okay.
Because I have a son that is in the military right now, in the Army. And he told us this.
Thank you, Caleb. Sad to see, Peter, what's happening with our military in that regard. Certainly, as Elaine Donnelly has been on this program, it does not improve military readiness to any degree.
No, and then if you throw in transgenders with the possibility of, now I know Trump is standing against this, but the mm-hmm. possibility of subsidizing through military doctors these awful body disfiguring operations which seek to do the impossible, change your sex, which you can't change. God made us male and female. You can try to become the other person, but you will always be what God made you to be. And that is the issue that I think is really probably not asked by that poll we talked about, Jim.
Let's, from North Carolina, let's go next to London, Kentucky. We have Frankie calling. Frankie, you're on the air.
Hey, I like the show. As a born-again Christian, I think one of the biggest mistakes that we are making is putting politics into this. And the reason that I say this is when you look at there's 320 million Americans and maybe 55% of them are Democrats, what we're doing is we're alienating all Christians. We're saying you have to be a right-wing Republican to be a Christian, and what that is ultimately doing is shrinking the message of Christ, of loving all, of giving all, and I think it's just a huge mistake when we get into this Christian and then we go strong, that we have to be strong right-wing Republican. I think it's really...
And Frankie, you know, we never said that once in the program. We stated the statistics of what's going on in the polls and how that broke down in that regard, but there is certainly fault on both sides of the aisle here. But we need to recognize that it indeed has been the part of one party platform, and another party platform has stood in opposition to it. Is that something you recognize?
Well, I just think it's a mistake. I don't look at it that way. I think you have to accept all.
It sounds like the caller is for. Are you for homosexuality being normalized in the culture?
I'm not pro homosexuality, but I'm not judging people either. I'm going to let the Christ do that.
Well, he has done it, Frankie. He's done it in his word, and he calls it out for what it is, Frankie.
It sounds like to me that you've become politicized yourself. No, I've stood against when Republicans are pro-homosexual. We've called them out on it. And the Democratic Party, Jim is right, the Democratic Party is much more strongly pro-homosexual, pro-transgender, and that's just a fact. It's not politicizing the gospel. It's just stating a fact. I think in the name of that, people want to just pull out of the whole fight, and that just allows the agenda to advance faster.
Yeah, and Frankie, it's not us calling the shots on this. Go to Scripture itself, okay? God's already put out His judgment in this regard, and so we need to go back to the Word. Gary is next in Idaho. Gary, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Gary. Hey, there's something hardly anybody ever talks about. I'm a United States veteran, served in the Army, Vietnam. My dad's also a veteran, served in the Korean War.
Okay, go right to your point, Gary.
Dad stopped by the VA hospital here a while back because he was having chest pains. He was told he made too much and he owns too much. If he would have stopped in and said, hey, I want a sex change, he would have done it for free.
Yeah.
He was sent away.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to me. I was sent away.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm up against a break, and that means the clock is going to take control here. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, doing some research on capitalism and slavery, I stumbled upon an article online by Teen Vogue seeking to brainwash young teenagers into believing the evils of capitalism included such things as the creation of slavery. Well, Thomas Sowell points out in an excellent article that it is actually the Christians and the capitalists that ended slavery. Yes, indeed, the anti-slavery movement began with 12 religious men in London in 1787. They met in a print shop to discuss how they could end the scourge of slavery. 12 businessmen, 12 capitalists, 12 Christians. And their work led to Britain taking upon itself becoming the policeman of the world to board slave ships, and America joined in later, and it was the Christians and the capitalists who ended slavery.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarbera is with us. He's in D.C. Tomorrow is the fourth infamous anniversary of the Obergefell versus Hodges decision. 10:30, the rally starts, so you're advised to be there early outside the U.S. Supreme Court. A number of former homosexuals or transgender is going to be speaking at the event itself. You can get more information at AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org, and learn more about the event and what is taking place there. And the previous caller, Peter, in that last segment said, you know, we just need to take the politics out, just show love to all. That's exactly what you are doing. I mean, when you, Peter, are telling the people that the pathway you're on is a dangerous pathway, that it evokes God's judgment, what more loving thing than you can do is to say, leave that lifestyle, leave those choices that you're making here.
Right. It's so tragic when somebody believes that being homosexual is, quote, who they are. And, Jim, you know me from many years of working together. I'm very critical of Republicans who've,
yes,
who've given up. In fact, that's one of our calls tomorrow is don't give up on this issue. We have to fight this like we fought Roe v. Wade, like we're fighting to overturn Roe v. Wade. We have to make each of those decisions a target because they're both evil decisions.
Let's go to Nampa, Idaho. Chris is calling. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm so glad that I caught you today because I'm very grieved and angry. I saw a segment on Martha McCallum last night. She covered this about these guys dressing up crazy and going in and doing awful things in front of children. And my question is, what can we do besides, I know we need to pray as Christians, but what can we do about this? And these libraries, aren't they receiving taxpayer dollars?
Yes, they are. And, you know, in some locations, they have actually reversed decisions where libraries have canceled the events due to public response and public input. Other places, like we saw recently, they actually called out a SWAT team and 40 police officers to ensure that the event would go on. But certainly to voice your objection is appropriate. Indeed, prayer is important. And calling that local institution, whether it be your library that's holding it or the Barnes & Noble or a fire department that might be holding a fundraiser in that regard, that calls are necessary. Any further thoughts, Peter?
Well, Jim, I'm going to be speaking in Rockford. Rockford Libraries in Rockford, Illinois, had a drag queen story hour that people protested. There's been a lot of protests against these because people recognize this is exploiting and harming children. But I will be speaking against drag queen story hours in Rockford, I believe, a couple Saturdays from now. So check our websites for updates. But absolutely, we need to speak out and we need to protect our children. If we can't protect our children, what can we do in this country?
Thank you for the call, Chris. To Vicki in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just want to let you know that when you pray to God for him to reveal things to you, he will open your eyes to the way the LGBTQ community is indoctrinating children. I'm a school teacher of elementary age children, and I was shopping at a mall and walked by Children's Place, and I had to stop in my tracks because I don't know if anyone else has noticed it, but they have the gay pride rainbows all over Children's Place. And just the word children's up there with the gay pride rainbows is enough. And I called the headquarters, I emailed them, and all I can say is if you look around, you can see it. Don't be oblivious. Don't get angry. Just do something about it, because if it is a big problem, it's a bigger problem if we do nothing.
Thank you, Vicki. Appreciate your sharing that. Let's go to Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. This scripture has come to my mind. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And that does not mean just know there is a God. That means we follow his wonderful way of life for the male and the female that he created, that we know about in the book of Genesis. My heart just hurts for this nation, but also for the world where everybody is just turning their back on the most wonderful, true, and righteous God.
God bless you, Alice. Thank you for your call. One final call to get in. Kathleen in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. First, I'd like to say thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. Praise God. And I would just like to make a comment, and that's it. And that is, a lot of Christians, I think, that say, oh, we shouldn't judge, or we should love everybody. They're not in the Bible, and they're not reading, because even Christ said when the Jews wanted to stone the woman and Jesus was there, what did Jesus say? He said, I don't judge you either, but, or condemn you, but go and sin no more. And that people just need to be in their Bible and read it over and over again so that they get to know and understand God.
Thank you, Kathleen. Peter, we are down to a minute. What would you like to leave with our listeners here today?
Yeah, we're fighting a sin movement. That's what it is. And I'm glad that caller called, and the one before. You know, this is a very, very sad thing. In order to make America truly great again, America has to become godly again, and we have to fear God. And I urge anybody who is close, come to our rally, come early, get there around 10 o'clock tomorrow in front of the Supreme Court. We're making a stand. It's just a stand for truth. Because if we have to start somewhere, and it begins with what marriage really is, the Supreme Court doesn't have the moral authority to redefine marriage. That's God's venue. That's God's department. And yet men in this country have risen up through this tremendous, powerful lobby, the sin movement. They redefine marriage. And we're saying no, that's not what marriage is. And we're saying no to the Equality Act, which would criminalize Christianity. So come out tomorrow, 10:30, U.S. Supreme Court, right in front, tomorrow in D.C.
Peter LaBarbera, our guest, and Peter, again, your website.
Americans for Truth, all written out, F-O-R, Americans for Truth. And remember, the event will probably be live-streamed on our website tomorrow.
Okay, again, AmericansForTruth.org or .com. It'll get you there either way. Peter, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, check it out there on the website. And again, they're launching it at 10:30 in the morning. That would be Eastern time, 10:30 Eastern. And he advises you, those attending, to get there early. But a lot of ground covered today on the program, folks. But what is the bottom line? We've got to be in prayer. Be in prayer for our nation. Be in prayer for our families. Be in prayer for our churches today. Be in prayer for our political leadership. And folks, we need to be salt. And we need to be light. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.